the grilling guys up.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Always a pleasure to talk to Tim Sobey, not Sim Toby. Tim Sobey at Sobey Meats. And I just enjoy, I learn every time that we talk to him. But this is a steak show.
And I think because, you know, I'm kind of hypersensitive to the economy. I think, you know, I really wanted to gear it as much towards making it affordable for people as possible. And if you're in good standing now with money, stick around because it might change. So you might want to learn how to get a deal on a steak. And I wondered if you've ever grilled a round steak.
You know, I have. And because what I like to do is that is a stroganoff piece for me, or I'll cut
it
up.
I'm talking about grilling it.
What's that?
I'm talking about grilling it.
Yeah, but I'll grill it first rather than cutting it up in little pieces and putting it in the, like the...
On the grill?
No, like in a Dutch oven or something, because sure. I make my stroganoff in a Dutch oven. Yes, I did. I'm coming around. I'm not there yet, but I'm coming around.
The Dutchman is coming around.
But a round steak... A round steak can be a little bit tough, so I like a medium rare, and I like to cook it quick, and those are two things that, and then once you put it in a soup, or you put it in a stroganoff or something like that, it's not to cook it more, it's just to mix it in with the stuff.
My mother, of course, I learned a lot of cooking from my mother, obviously. My dad didn't even know where the stove was. But
the cat did, but he forgot too. Old joke. Oh, if you've been listening for 15 years, you might know what that one meant. But
so she used to take her meat cleaver or her pounder, you know, tenderizer out.
Meat hammer.
And she would bang the heck out of that round steak and then probably dip it in flour and saute it and then make, I think it was like Swedish steak or whatever.
Swiss steak,
yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Finlander fry.
Swedish steak is what it was in our house. But so you could actually do that if round steak's reasonably affordable.
Yeah.
And I noticed they're selling eye of round now and stuff like that. But I'm just saying if you had a jacquard or a hammer, meat hammer.
Right.
Tenderizer, you could do that with a round steak. It's fairly flavorful.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and like I said, that's why I put it in things. That's not a steak I'm going to throw on my plate and just put a knife to it and start eating it. I like it mixed in with stuff because it, you know, I don't want to overcook it, but I'd like to grill it to get a little char on it because when I put it in things, I just like that texture a little bit.
Growing up north, I had a good friend who was very, very popular in high school. He all the kids were in that family. Just tremendous family. Dad was a Detroit Tiger long ago. But anyway, he actually lived in the garage because they had so many kids and they were living in a single wide. He lived in the garage. And he told
me
that's
why he's popular.
He told me these kids were all studs. They were just athletes like their dad. But he told me that he had never had a steak. So the next time I came over, I went in my mom and dad's freezer. I didn't know anything about steak, but we always bought a cow, right? So it said round steak. So I grabbed it, white paper, right?
Yeah, you were going to hang around with him. I get it. It all goes together.
I went over there. Yeah. And he had one of those electric griddles back there. And he threw
George Foreman?
He threw that on the – I'd like to get through a sentence. He threw that on the griddle.
Not going
to
happen.
And I just sat there and watched him eat it. And it was like – it was like the greatest epiphany you ever had on food.
Right? Good, man. Well, I get it.
It's a round steak.
Yeah.
So you can make someone happy with a round steak. I know it's a long story, but you could take your jacquard and tenderize one of those babies up. But
right.
I think, you know, we've done different events where we've done thinly sliced ribeye.
Well, those are, that is a fantastic cut of meat for Philly sandwiches. And you perfected that when we had the shop open in Lowell.
I think we're
going to
do that
ago.
On a flat top.
Yeah. Yep. I would too, because it's a little bit thicker than paper, but not much.
Right.
And you got
want a bunch of oil on it.
Right. Yep. And you got it. You know, you buy it cut like that. It's almost impossible to cut it like that at home. And they slice it on a meat slicer, and I think when it's partially frozen, maybe even, so they can get it that thin.
Likely.
Right. But what happens with that on the flat top is the texture.
It turns into a potato chip.
Yeah. It like withers up and it gets all in the curvy and stuff.
Yeah.
And that is a great chew. When you take a bite of that, and there's always fat on a ribeye, right? And fat in a ribeye, and that's woven through the meat. Yep. And that Philly steak with, well, how'd you make
little
that?
Little garlic, salt, a little pepper.
Right.
And real quick.
And then peppers
and
onions.
A little pink on the inside.
Yes. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Always a little medium to medium rare. It's not going to hurt you. It's paper thin, but it's also
but
just,
it's just
so flavorful.
Great for a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Just amazing. Makes my mouth water.
Are you getting hungry?
Yeah. So now you got to describe, give me 5-10 seconds of how do you make that Philly?
Well, we've covered that plenty of times, but it, you know, if you've got a Blackstone like Randy has, or just a griddle in your kitchen like my buddy had, you throw that on there on a high temperature. Yeah, and that was his kitchen. you know, real quick on some extra virgin olive oil and saute it up with some garlic and onions.
Right.
And maybe put some garlic butter on your French roll and flip it down.
Yeah, get a little crispy.
Get some of those nice big French rolls from Hall Street Bakery.
Yeah.
And anyway, put some whatever your favorite cheese is on it. I happen to love a sharp cheddar, but a little mozzarella or five blend Italian with it's good. And I always shred my own cheese. I don't buy the shredded cheese anymore. Yeah. I did in the kitchen because of the volume.
Right.
But if you buy a nice block of cheese, you're going to get all the oils. If you buy the bagged shredded, they cover it in starch.
Right.
So if you're trying
so
to get any
together,
of the,
right,
if you're
yeah.
going to get any of the fats out of that cheese, you'll never see it. It'll just clump.
Right.
So New York strip is one that people always have trouble with.
Why? What do you think that
it's
is?
It's so lean.
Yeah, and it's half of a porterhouse or half of a T-bone. Usually the bigger half is what's called the New York strip on one side of the bone. The other side of the bone is a fillet, right? So if you're looking at that, it's a long rectangular cut. I will tell you that a couple weekends ago, I went over to Pheasant Hunt over in the Thumb, and I went up to Tim, and he gave me inch and a half cut New York strips. That's what I served the guys. There's going to be a fat rind all the way around one side.
Did you leave it on or you take it off?
I left it on.
Yeah.
I left it on because there was these were beautifully marbled, though. He cut me some good steaks. But the thing was is that when you cut that New York strip, you get a little piece of that rind on there, and it's just a flavor burst in your mouth when you take the bite of that. And needless to say, I did them on the tech. It was 2 degrees out when I did it, but, man, that infrared just did a fantastic job. And those guys, I didn't even bring steak knives. I just brought butter knives because I knew it worked.
So if you're going to do New York strip, this is not a value piece. So don't try and make it a value piece and get the select.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because I did that once for a very large event.
Yeah.
And I was very unhappy with the outcome. Do not do select strips.
Yeah, you want some marbling. You want some marbling in those.
So because, minimum choice.
Right, yep. And these were really nice. Of course, you can't go wrong at Sobey Meats. I mean, come on. This is what they do as a business. And they got a grocery store, got beer and wine there too. But
yeah, if you find select steaks there, it's going to be in the meat sticks.
Yeah, right. You ground up, put in the meat sticks. But a New York strip is a good cut. Grills very well. Inch to an inch and a half, and
it fits on a plate nice too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
You know, so we haven't had our friend Big Paulie on in quite a while, but he's going to be in the next segment, and Paulie's fully retired now, and I think it'd be great. You talk about a guy who loves steak. This is a big Goomba.
You know?
He loves some steak.
He's from Jersey, and
he's from Pennsylvania.
Oh, he moved to Pennsylvania?
He lives in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
He just worked in Jersey.
When
you get out there, you know, it's kind of the devil's triangle.
Right, exactly. But so coming up next, it's Big Paulie, and he's the Goomba from the East Coast. And is he still involved in the radio business, too?
No, he's retired.
Oh, retired out of that as well. So he's all done. I know he had other jobs. That was just another one. But anyway, so you list the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's Big Pauly and a Goomba Steak. Stick with us. We'll be back.